We'll just discuss about Narottam Das Thakur tonight. We won't read from Bhagavad Gita tonight, but instead we'll discuss about Narottam Das Thakur. Now, I'm sure the devotees will relish the pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur, but of course there are quite a few guests also here tonight, and for them, it may be a little difficult to understand, but please bear with us. And one thing I can assure you, that these pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur, or all the pastimes of the great acharyas or preceptors of Krishna consciousness, they are facts. Whatever I'll be telling you about Narottam Das Thakur tonight is nothing but truth. It's not fiction or it's not stories. It's actually history. The history of a great personality from India, from Bengal, who appeared soon after Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And he was a great devotee of the Lord, and as a matter of fact, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, the next generation preacher were Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Prabhu. Three of them were the greatest of all the preachers of that time. Is it working now? Narottam Das Thakur was born as the son of a king. In Bengal, there is a area, a province called Kheturi, that is in East Bengal, or after India was divided into India and Pakistan, Bengal was divided into half, and so this area, their kingdom actually falls in that part of Bengal, eastern part of Bengal. And he was the son of a king, and those days, you can well imagine, like, India was actually a very opulent country. Like, you can well imagine that all the civilized countries in the world were actually eager to have a business relationship, trade relationship with India. And it is to discover India that Columbus set out. Columbus went out to find the waterway to India, and then he ended up in America. But when he reached America, Columbus thought that he actually reached India. And that's why the aborigines of America are known as Indians, because they thought that they were actually Indians. But later on, another Spanish sailor, Amerigo Vespucci, he went and discovered. He realized that that was actually America, that was a different continent, not India. And after his name, Amerigo, the land was known as America. So we can see that how opulent India was at the time, that all the civilized countries in the world were actually eager to have a trade relationship with India. And at that time, in India, Bengal was the most opulent country. So we can well imagine how opulent Narottam Das Thakur must have been. Their family must have been. But Narottam Das Thakur became a devotee of the Lord from his childhood. From his childhood only he used to display the ecstatic symptoms, chanting the name of the Lord. And people actually thought that this child was actually mad. They couldn't understand that why he was behaving like a madman. But actually that was his very elevated love for the Lord that he was displaying. So, then of course Narottam Das Thakur could not leave home when he was young because he was protected by the family. They wouldn't let him go out and things. But when he grew up a little bit, one day he ran away. And he went straight to Vrindavan. And when he arrived in Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami took him under his care. And Narottam Das Thakur became very fond of Lokanath Goswami, Mahaprabhu's disciple. Lokanath Goswami was one of the first persons who took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lokanath Goswami was a very old man at that time. And Narottam Das Thakur approached him and wanted initiation from him. But Lokanath Goswami refused. He didn't want to initiate anyone. But Narottam Das Thakur was very staunch in his conviction. And he just kept on serving Lokanath Goswami. And as a matter of fact, he used to take care of Lokanath Goswami in his, without him knowing about that he's serving him like that. And he would take care of all his affairs. And then Lokanath Goswami figured out that this Narottam is rendering service to him, although he doesn't want to take any service from anyone. So then finally he became very pleased with Narottam and he gave him initiation. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur was the only disciple of Lokanath Goswami. Diksha was from him. But his shiksha was actually from Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So, and when he was there, Jiva Goswami was present. And at that time, two other young men also came from the eastern countries. And were in Vrindavan. They were also very great devotees. And those two persons were Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Prabhu. And Narottam Das Thakur became very friendly with them. And the three of them became very close friends. And all the senior Vaishnavas of Vrindavan were very affectionate and very merciful to them. And so then, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gave him the instructions, the teachings. So that's why when you see our parampara, in our parampara, Narottam Das Thakur is in our parampara. But the line is drawn from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to Narottam Das Thakur. Actually, in our parampara, we don't see Narottam Das Thakur as a disciple of Lokanath Goswami. That is, although Diksha was from Lokanath Goswami, but Shiksha was from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I think in Bhagavad Gita only, we can see. It is like Rupa Goswami, then Raghunath Das Goswami. Here it is. Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, then Narottam Das Thakur, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This way it comes. So, this Narottam Das Thakur was, as I said, he received the instructions or shiksha from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And then when, at one point of time, all the stalwart Goswamis, all the stalwart devotees of Vrindavan, decided to send all the scriptures to Bengal. And they entrusted Srinivas Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Prabhu to take the books back to Bengal. And they carried the books, and that's another story. Like, on the way, the books got stolen. And it was not like nowadays, when you can have many, many books printed, and those days books were written by hand, and there were no other copies actually. Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the writings of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And it so happened, when they were traveling, they were carrying these books in wooden boxes, wooden chests. And when they came into the border of Bengal, in that area, in a place called Vishnupur, quite significant, the name of the place is Vishnupur, the city of Vishnu. And there was a king called Hambir. And he had an astrologer who could calculate how much money or what wealth someone is carrying. And so he calculated that this group that is coming from the west, they are carrying an enormous wealth. He calculated that they are carrying an enormous wealth. So when they stopped at night, Srinivas Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu, and they actually had a party and a whole army with them, guards, and they were carrying the books in bullock carts. And so it was a big party, and at night they fell asleep, and then this dacoit came. And they stole away all the boxes from there. Well, when the boxes were brought to the king's palace, and king actually used to do that, king used to plunder people, like he used to get, he had his people, those who would go and steal, all in the name of. So, when they brought the boxes, then, and they opened it, they found the boxes were full of books. And so the king called that astrologer and said, what's the matter? Like, you never, so far I've never seen any mistake in your calculation. Then how come today there is a mistake? Like, you said that there is an enormous wealth in these boxes, and we are seeing that there's just some books in the boxes. So the astrologer made fresh calculation. And he said, whenever I'm calculating, I'm getting the same result. It always says that these books are filled, these boxes are filled with enormous wealth. And the king realized that this must be some transcendental books. And these books must be containing all the divine spiritual knowledge. And so in the meantime, when they woke up in the morning, they found that the boxes are gone, the books are stolen. And they are completely devastated because they felt that, and they actually felt like entering into fire, giving up their lives. They're so heartbroken. And so, but then Srinivas Thakur, he was the leader of the group, so he told them, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu, to go back, go to Bengal, and he decided to stay there and recover the books. And that's a nice story also. Srinivas Thakur, he was searching around, asking people that who could have done that. And then some people said, actually, I think it is the doing of the king. But Srinivas Thakur could not approach the king, asking him whether he stole his books, because that would be very insulting to the king, and the king may take great offense. So Srinivas Thakur stayed there. He was just staying there waiting for the proper opportunity. Then he got to know that the king loves to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And every evening Different people read Srimad Bhagavatam, give a class on Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srinivas Thakur made some arrangement, and arrangement was made that Srinivas Thakur would give a class on Srimad Bhagavatam one night. And so Srinivas Thakur gave a class, gave a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. And everyone felt that they never ever heard such Bhagavatam class. They were completely overwhelmed. The king was very, very happy. He was completely ecstatic. So the king asked Srinivas Thakur, please tell me what can I do for you. Just give me some service. Let me render some service to you. And then Srinivas Thakur said, you see, I was carrying some books from Vrindavan, the books written by our spiritual preceptors, and somebody stole those books. And so you are the king, so please help me to find those books. So then the king says, actually it's I who did it. And he gave the books back to him, and he became his disciple. He actually became a very big preacher, and he's a patron of Krishna consciousness of that time. And so then Srinivas Thakur brought the books to Bengal, and because of him, today we are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Ratnakar, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, all those books. And they are the greatest treasure of all time, actually. So then, Narottam Das Thakur was preaching in Bengal, and they all were very, very powerful preachers. Very powerful preachers. I mean, first of all, they are very learned scholars. Narottam Das Thakur was a great poet, and we read so many of Narottam Das Thakur's songs. And Srinivas Thakur also was a great poet, so was Shamananda Prabhu. Srinivas Thakur all three of them were great, very great personalities. And Narottam Das Thakur actually was the greatest of poets, as a matter of fact. And he was a very powerful preacher. So to give some incidences of Narottam Das Thakur's preaching, like one day Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj was actually a disciple of Srinivas Thakur, but he was also a very great friend of Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur was very friendly with Srinivas. Like that's why we, in that song, it is mentioned, Ramachandra Sango Magi Narottam Das. That is Ramchandra Kaviraj. So one day Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur were going to some place, and then they saw two very handsome looking boys were carrying some buffaloes and goats, and they were taking a horde of buffaloes and goats, and they were actually taking them for sacrifice to Kali. So Narottam Das Thakur felt that out of ignorance these people are committing such sinful activities. So he must deliver them. So Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj made a plan. So they just kept on walking just ahead of these two boys. And then Narottam Das Thakur kept on telling Ramchandra Kaviraj about the consequences of animal sacrifice. What happens when there is an animal sacrifice, and how animal sacrifice actually began in the Karmakanda of the Vedas, and how, what was the purpose of animal sacrifice? That was simply to taste, to check out whether the sacrifice has been properly performed. And by sacrificing the animals were directly delivered or elevated to the higher planets. and things like that, or at least they were given a new body, or a young body. The old body was transformed into a young body and things like that. And so Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj were discussing, and these two boys heard that. And then they realized what a big mistake that they were going to make. So their heart was completely transformed. And then they came to Narottam Das Thakur's lotus feet and says, please show us the way. Unknowingly we are making mistakes, and we have already committed so much mistakes. So please forgive us from us, deliver us from our sin. So Narottam Das Thakur gave them Hare Krishna mantra and made them his disciples. And these two boys were actually the sons of the landlord, very powerful landlord of that area. So Narottam Das Thakur and this man, they were actually from a Brahmin family. This powerful landlord was a Brahmin, and Narottam Das Thakur was actually a Kshatriya. Narottam Das Thakur's family was a Kshatriya, and this landlord, whose sons were initiated by Narottam Das Thakur, were Brahmin. And those days in India, the caste system was very, very strong, very rigid. So when these boys went back, in the meantime what happened, they left all the buffaloes and goats loose and let them away, and they went back home. So their father asked him, what happened, where are those animals? So they said, father, animal sacrifice, not actually. So we met a great personality, and he instructed us on the real science, real knowledge, and we let the animals loose. And from now on, we decided not to commit any violence to any animal. And so the father got very angry. So he found out that Narottam Das Thakur actually gave them initiation. So he was so proud of his Brahmin birth. He said that is a transgression of social custom. A Kshatriya can never initiate a Brahmin. Why do you do that? This Narottam, he has become such an upstart. He is doing this. And so the father, but when the father talked to the sons, the father was actually defeated, because all the arguments they gave were completely perfect. So the father, then the landlord, the big, powerful, rich man, he got hold of scholarly Brahmins, and he got them to defeat his sons. But his sons defeated all those Brahmins also. So he became very, very angry. King became very angry. This landlord became very angry. So he approached the king, not Narottam Das Thakur's father, but there was another king who was very powerful. So he went to the king and said that, look, you are a Kshatriya, and a Kshatriya's business is to protect Dharma. Now, due to this Narottam, the Dharma is being destroyed. Narottam is destroying Dharma, so you must protect Dharma. He is being a Kshatriya, he is giving initiation to the Brahmin. So that is completely unbonafide, so you must do something about it. So the king said, fine, I'll do it. So they made arrangements. They got all the big learned scholars from all over India to defeat Narottam. So they came, the king also was going with them to Kheturi, to Narottam Das Thakur's place. And in the meantime, Ramchandra Kaviraj and another disciple of Narottam Das Thakur got the news that this king is coming with all these great scholars, great Brahmin, great scholars on scriptures to defeat Narottam Das Thakur. So they felt very worried. They felt that this is just a botheration to their guru, unnecessary harassment to their guru. So they decided to take care of that. They felt that they wouldn't let them go to Narottam Das Thakur. Because actually Vaishnavas don't want to argue. Unnecessary argument does not really breed Krishna consciousness. It simply makes the heart strong, harder. So Ramchandra Kaviraj and this other devotee, I forgot his name, they made a plan. And so in one village where they could calculate that they would stop for the night in that village, there in that village, they opened up two shops. Ramchandra Kaviraj opened up a betel nut shop. And the other devotee, other disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, he opened up a clay pot shop. So, it's because when they stop at that place, in order to cook, they have to buy clay pots. Because in India those days, people used to cook in clay pots, and they would cook once and throw away those pots. And so, positively they were going to buy clay pots, so they could figure out that they have to come to their shop. And Ramchandra Kaviraj opened up a betel nut shop, because after eating, they have to eat betel nut and betel leaves. And betel leaves are very delicate. So you can't carry them, you have to buy them fresh. Right? So these two shops they opened up. So when these people, they actually pitched their tent in that village, the king and his entourage. And so then they came out to his men, the king's men and the Brahmin's men, actually the Brahmin's men, came to buy clay pots and betel nut. So when they came to the betel nut shop, Ramchandra Kaviraj began to speak to them in Sanskrit. And they got very surprised. Wow, these people speak Sanskrit. And just a shopkeeper but speaks such fluent Sanskrit. So soon they got into an argument. And after the argument, these pundits were defeated. The people, those who went to buy things from the shop, they got defeated by him. And the same thing happened with the clay pot shop. They very surprisingly they found that the shopkeeper also speaks fluent Sanskrit. Then they got into an argument and then they were defeated. So they went and reported to the big pundits. So they said that strange, that we went to this place and these people speak fantastic Sanskrit, and not only that, they defeated me in all arguments. So then they came, all those big scholars came out of curiosity and also out of their pride that their disciples have been defeated by a shopkeeper. So then there was also a further argument. And all the big scholars also were defeated by Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur's disciple. And so then they asked, how come you got such knowledge? How come you are such scholarly? Although you have some very low occupation, but how come you have such great knowledge? Then they said, actually, you see, we are just good for nothing shopkeepers. But by our great fortune, we came across a person called Narottam Das Thakur. And very mercifully, he gave us initiation. And it is just by his mercy that we are able to speak like this. So then the king told the pandit that you better go back. Because if his disciple, some insignificant disciple, like a shopkeeper can defeat you. So what will happen to you when you go and meet him? He'll make a mincemeat out of you. So, and then the king realized his mistake. So the king approached, went to Narottam Das Thakur, and also the great scholar from Benares, they went to Narottam Das Thakur and accepted initiation. So this is how Narottam Das Thakur was preaching. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur was one of the most important persons to spread Krishna consciousness after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. The line was held one way by Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu's wife, Jannava Devi, and this side was Narottama Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Prabhu. And many kings became Narottama Das Thakur's disciples and Srinivas Thakur's disciples. There's one whole state of Manipur, the whole country became Vaishnavas. It's still in here. Still now we can see that people are still Vaishnavas. The whole country is Vaishnavas. But actually they were aborigines. They were hilly tribes. They're tribes from the hills. It's still in here. Still now we can see that people are still Vaishnavas. The whole country is Vaishnavas. But actually they were aborigines. They were hilly tribes. They're tribes from the hills. They are not cultured before. And when Narottama Das Thakur's man went, then the king decided to make the whole state into a Vaishnava state. And the Vaishnavas were imported from Bengal. And they trained them up. And still now we can see that their whole culture is actually based on Krishna consciousness. They perform Krishna's pastimes and Mahaprabhu's pastimes throughout the whole night. The dance drama they perform throughout the whole night. They play beautiful mridanga and the whole culture. Actually, Sharad Damodar Maharaj is from Manipur. He is... So that was also because of Narottama Das Thakur. So this way, Narottama Das Thakur was one of the greatest preachers that the world has ever seen. And today is his appearance day. So we must try to take advantage of great personalities like him or his appearance. That mercifully he came to deliver us. We must take advantage of that. That mercy, and try to elevate ourselves in Krishna consciousness by accepting their teaching, accepting His teaching, and by practicing their teaching. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Narottama Das Thakur. Shiksha, literally shiksha means teaching. Now, the guru, actually there are three types of gurus. There can be many, many types of gurus, but there are generally three basic classes of gurus. One is Bhatma Pradarshan Guru, one who shows the way. Bhatma means path, and Pradarshan means show. So the one who shows the way to Krishna consciousness, he is known as Bhatma Pradarshan Guru. And then, the one who gives us the initiation, is the Diksha Guru, that you know. And the one who instructs us on Krishna, or by whose mercy we get to know Krishna, he is known as Shiksha Guru. Sometimes, one guru can be three in one entity, right? Or sometimes a Diksha Guru can be Shiksha Guru. But sometimes Shiksha Guru can be different from Diksha Guru. It is all one, depends on one's own development of Krishna consciousness. But Shiksha Guru and disciple relationship is more of a spontaneous relationship. Like it's a spontaneous, like whoever inspires you the most in understanding Krishna, in becoming fixed up in Krishna consciousness, he is Shiksha Guru. And Shiksha Guru can be many.
But Diksha Guru is one. Shiksha Guru can be many. One who gives the Diksha. Diksha means initiation. Initiate means? Initiate means to begin. Right? So, the one who takes us to the spiritual path, he is the Diksha Guru. Right? That means, by initiation, we get our spiritual birth. Right? So the one who gives us the spiritual birth, he is the Diksha Guru. Is it clear? He takes you to the spiritual platform. He takes you to the spiritual platform. Like he makes a contract that you follow me, you follow my instruction, and then you'll be able to approach the spiritual sky. Before initiation, we are not spiritually situated. We are materially situated. But the Diksha Guru, he takes us to the spiritual platform. Right? Is that clear? Is it clear? It is not only, spiritual life is not just based on knowledge. Because, by reading you may get the knowledge. But spiritual life is not dependent on knowledge alone. Spiritual life actually begins with submission. When we submit ourselves, we have to surrender ourselves. And that is the beginning of spiritual life. And then, we submit ourselves, and then the mercy takes us up. And that's how we enter into spiritual life, not by knowledge. And even for the sake of knowledge also, you cannot get the knowledge just by yourself. Right? For instance, if you want to study medicine, right? If you want to learn the science of medicine, right? Can you just buy some books from the market and read it? You can read them, but you won't be a qualified physician. No one will recommend it. Right? But if you study under a bona fide teacher, then you learn the science, and then in due course of time, you become a doctor yourself. Right? Or arts. So the same way, in spiritual life, you have to have a qualified or bona fide teacher to give you that knowledge. And that is the Guru. Go to think of it, why one doesn't want to accept a Guru? Say for instance, if somebody doesn't want to accept a Guru, why? There can be two reasons. One reason may be that there is no proper teacher, no proper Guru. That may be one reason, that's why one doesn't accept a Guru. Or, one is too puffed up and that's why he can't accept it. Right? When one is too arrogant, too proud, then he doesn't want to accept it. But if you're too proud, then you can't enter into the spiritual realm. A person who is very proud, he can never enter into spiritual realm. One has to be submissive. Submissive to a representative of God. That is to the bona fide spiritual master. Is that clear? To wait and find the right guru, then just half-heartedly, hastily, just take initiation and then feel, then lament after. So it is better to wait, but then when you take initiation, then make sure that you are 100% surrendered. Right? Once you accept a guru, then you must be surrendered to him completely. You cannot, then after taking initiation, you can't think, oh, I made a mistake. Right? As Prabhupada gave an example, like taking initiation is something like getting married. Right? Once you get married, you can't give up your wife. At least in the Vedic culture, you can't. In the Western culture, it's a different story. But in Vedic culture, once married, forever married. Right? The same way, when you accept a guru, you must stick to him. But, you can, if you are not 100% sure, you can wait.
But it's also seen in Kishkan that
things will change. You see, like, our movement is a vast movement, very big movement. But at the same time, it is very young. This movement is very young also. So, we haven't actually been able to decide, figure out, you know, what should be the policy. Right? But gradually, you see, our policy will become more and more fixed up. And you see, we are faced with two problems. One is the vastness of our society, right? And the other thing is the responsibility that goes with it. Right? Like, it is not possible for the gurus just to travel around all the time and give their association and then let it. Let the devotees decide who they want to take initiation from. I mean, that would be ideal, but that hasn't been possible so far. Because the people, the gurus of our society, they are the best managers of our society also. So if they give up their management, then our society will suffer. So, but I'm sure gradually things will become more solved, or more settled. What the names are? The names are, you become servant of Krishna, or you become the servant of the servant of Krishna. Right? Yeah. And you always remain the servant of Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, like, you never mean the particular name?
No, the name may change.
Yeah.
The name may change. And when you go to the spiritual sky, then of course, actually, the names of that we have is a Krishna Das, some form of servant of Krishna that we have. So actually, this name is not a mundane name. It is a spiritual name. It's a very meaningful name. Right? Like say, when you become Krishna Das, that means you are a servant of Krishna. So that is your identity. It is not your name as such, but it's actually your identity. You are a servant of Krishna. And when you go back to Vrindavan, you become a servant of Krishna. Right? You remain a servant of Krishna. But at the same time, you may have another name too. Right? How do you buy that name as a servant? But all the names in the spiritual sky are servants. Right? So they are either servants of Krishna or servants of the servants of Krishna. So and so. You have to know the spiritual. Right? That is, after you have taken initiation, then you can develop a relationship. But if you say that without seeing the spiritual master, you take initiation and then you develop a relationship, generally that is not the way it is done. So it is better that the guru disciple has some relationship. Like Prabhupada said, and also Nectar of Devotion said, that the guru should see the disciple for 1 year, and the disciple also should see the guru for 1 year. It is not a sentimental relationship. It is a divine relationship. transcendental relationship based on absolute truth. Right? So we shouldn't just jump into it. Better not. Better wait and see.
See that you?
Huh? Well, yes. Yes, see here. Hearing and also by seeing.
Right.
Say for instance, you may be attracted to somebody who looks very handsome. And you may think that this person is my guru. Why? Because he looks so good. But then when you come close to him, then clearly you see so many defects in him. And then you see, my God, I made such a mistake. Right? So that doesn't happen. It is better that you decide for yourself. But rather one decides for you. For you there is no question of deciding. You have already decided. But generally it is better that one decides for himself. Then he can't blame us. If anything goes wrong, then he will blame himself for it.
Not for some souls.
Yeah. Right. And after all, you know, like, what's the hurry? Prabhupada once said that don't force people to take initiation. He said if you force them, then they'll take initiation immaturely and then they'll go away. And that's what actually happened. So many devotees left because they prematurely took initiation. They are not Prabhupada said that they must cry to get initiation. Not only beg, they must cry to take initiation. So that kind of urge should be there. Otherwise it's an unnecessary burden for the spiritual master. Like, the spiritual master tries to take him back to Godhead. But if the disciple doesn't follow his instruction, if the disciple's mind is in mind, then it's an unnecessary burden. And that's why Prabhupada made it a policy that his name should be the founder Acharya of this fund. So anybody who joins this fund is connected to Prabhupada. Anybody who receives knowledge by reading Prabhupada's book, Prabhupada is his teacher. Because the knowledge is in Prabhupada's book, and in that way, everybody is related to Prabhupada. Yes,
sir.
Guru, yes, you can. But then again, you have to take a Diksha Guru. And it is also good to have somebody to be related to Prabhupada too. Somebody who would relate you to Prabhupada. actually, due to my surrounding, due to my bad association, I was not quite Krishna conscious, but I had a feeling all along that someday I'll take to spiritual life. But those days I did not think of becoming a devotee as such. Those days I used to think that to take the spiritual life means go up in the Himalayas and become a yogi or things like that. And then finally I did that. At one point of time, I just left everything and I was looking for a guru. And of course I was quite interested in philosophy and also Vedic philosophy, so I used to study. But my approach was impersonal. This is also due to bad association, and due to my not having proper Krishna conscious education. And then when I met Prabhupada, actually I met Prabhupada through a book called The Nectar of Devotion. And when I read the book, when I began to read the book, from the very first page I felt that this is what I was looking for.
And while reading the book, I made up my mind that I will become a devotee. And then the following night, I dreamt of Srila Prabhupada, although I didn't see him before. But I dreamt of him, and I could realize that here is my spiritual master. And then I found out that Prabhupada was in America. So I thought that I would wait till Prabhupada went back to India. And I decided to travel to different places where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. And the first place I went to was Mayapur. And in Mayapur, everybody was inviting me so much. Said, why don't you stay with us and why don't you see how you like it? And I felt that, well, I already made up my mind to join Krishna consciousness. And now these people are inviting me to stay with them. So why don't I stay? So I reached Mayapur at night, around 7 o'clock. And the next morning, I shaved myself up and became a devotee. And then when Prabhupada came, he very mercifully kept me with him. That was another wonderful mercy. I used to be with him. And I was with him till he left this planet. If you are already initiated in some Vaishnav Sampradaya, there is no need to take initiation as such. But if you are not initiated by a Vaishnav Guru, then you should take initiation. And if you have a Vaishnav Guru, but you want to come to some other Sampradaya, then you should take a Shiksha Guru from that Sampradaya. But there is no need to reject the Guru if the Guru is Vaishnava. East of Bangladesh, you know, like Calcutta, Bengal, then Bangladesh, then east of Bangladesh, near Burma, between Bangladesh and Burma. Assam, and, close to Assam.
Chinese north?
Near the
mountains.
Right, near the mountains. Eastern side of India. Mm-hmm. Because you see, like, since they have some knowledge of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so familiarity breeds contempt. They're too familiar. They can't accept Mahaprabhu as God. And they don't want to also read and find out, or listen and find out. You see, they're just in dark ignorance. So this is one thing, this is the apparent cause. And the real cause is that when somebody is a Kali, influences the head first, right? Because the most important part of the body is head. And Kali actually attacks the head. So when Kali started, what did Kali do? Kali first destroyed the Brahmin, the Brahminical culture. Right? Then he destroyed the Kshatriya. Right? And then he destroyed the Vaishya. So Kali actually attacks from top. Right? And now, you see, if you consider the condition of the world, you'll see that as far as the spiritual life is concerned, India is in a mess. Right? And in India, Bengal is worst. But actually Bengal is the highest place because Mahaprabhu, who is the Jugavatar, appeared in Bengal. Right? So Bengal is the most, or Navadvip is the most important dharma of Kali Yuga. But that place is worst of all places.
That is because the demons, by Kali actually sent the demons or influenced the people and made them into demons. And that's how Kali is stopping Mahaprabhu. But we have to just go out and chant the Sankirtan with all our might, then the demons will run. He actually is a demigod. Kali is a demigod. Men. Karala Vadana Krura Kalishya Kalaha Kriya. His face is very frightening. And he is very dangerous. And he loves to fight. He loves to quarrel. And he induces everyone to quarrel. And that's why you see in the age of Kali, everyone is fighting with everybody else. The father is fighting with his son, the brothers are fighting with each other, friends are fighting with each other. So wherever there is fight, you can be sure that there is Kali. That's why devotees should avoid fighting with each other. We should fight among ourselves.
So, Kali controls five areas then. War, slaughterhouses, bars, pornographic houses, like that.
Yeah.
So, that's wherever there's like a bar, that's Kali's territory too.
Yeah. Wherever there's not only a bar, wherever there's a booze bottle. Or any kind of intoxication.
Wine, anything.
Any
grape vineyards, everything that has to do with...
Vineyard is alright. Like, you can use the grapes for Krishna.
Right.
Vineyard is alright. But the moment you ferment it, Kali enters. And not only alcohol, you know, like even, you know, hashish, marijuana, LSD,
and pills, like from pharmaceutical companies?
Anything that changes the country. Yeah, Bharat, you have a question.
Yeah, this was regarding the story, because you said the disciples of Narottamdas Thakura, one of them, he had a petal nut shop, and the Brahmins were going there and taking his petal nut. But this is also considered to be an intoxication, no?
Actually, at that time they used to take. Mahaprabhu and his associates took petal nut. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioning it. Petal nut is alright. The thing is that we avoid it because we are actually so degraded. And petal nut, it increases your material desire. So Mahaprabhu and his associates could do something. But that doesn't mean that we can also do that. Like Krishna chooses pan. Krishna takes pan. Radharani actually gives Krishna pan. Korpura Tambuli, that song, that's also by Narottamdas Thakur. Radha Krishna Pranamo, Jugala Kishore, Jivane Morane Goti, Aranahi. So that song has two lines. That I'll offer you Korpura and Tambuli.
But what about those Brahmins who were not in the association of Lakshmana and Mahaprabhu? They actually went there.
Yeah, well, they were, what you talk about, pan, they were probably doing all kinds of nonsense. And they actually, they were demoniac. Many of them are demons. In the age of Kali, many demons were born as Brahmins. Or have born as Brahmins. The caste Brahmins. Kali cannot actually. In the heavenly planets, generally, they do not so much chant Hare Krishna. But some devotees, when they go by, they do chant Hare Krishna, like Narad Muni. When he goes around, he just chants Hare Krishna. Or other. Also. And when Narada Muni sees somebody is qualified, right, to go to Vrindavan or become a devotee of Krishna, Narada Muni may give him Hare Krishna. So actually in our planet this takes place in very specific cases. It's not general, not like here. Actually mantra is not given like that before. Like mantra was not given mass scale before. It was given to very, very qualified ones in a very, very secret way. But in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the highest mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra.